Welcome to episode 678 of the Punk News Podcast. I am your host, one of your hosts, Punk News co-senior editor, M. Moore. I'm here with other co-senior editor, John Gentile. And today we have a very special guest. We are here with Joey Shithead Keasley of DOA. How are you
Hey, how you
doing?
doing? I guess a broadcast number 678. I'm pretty impressed with that. So that's amazing.
We're getting up there. We're getting up there. Thanks so much for being on.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And so we're going to talk about the new covers album, No
Yeah.
Escape from Where You Are, which is available now on Sudden Death.
Yeah.
So you have lots of like really great bands on the comp. You have like Circle Jerks, Descendants, Warren Women, all sorts. You've played with all of them or the majority of them. So how did you decide which bands to include on this comp?
It was me and my drummer Patty Duddy that were sitting around after some show, sitting around a hotel room having a beer, and we thought, wow, it'd be pretty cool if we could get some bands to cover DOA songs. And then we came up with a wish list. I mean, I'll tell you the ones we didn't get in a minute, but one of the
Sure.
first people I asked was my buddy Duff from Guns N' Roses, and he said yes right away, right? So he was more than happy to help out. Super great guy, right? Really nice. Then I talked to Tim from Rancid, and he said yes within about 3 minutes. Like, once I explained the idea, and then talked to Keith from Circle Jerk. So, yeah, it was just kind of that. I mean, and as far as the song selection, it was kind of first come, first serve. Go ahead there, John. Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to say something. Go ahead. Okay. Where were we? Okay. I thought I heard you. Okay. Anyway, so as the songs
yes,
got
song
picked,
list.
then I just kept sending the list out to different bands I had approached. You know, we
Sure.
approached English Subhumans, GBH. We had a tried to get through the one I really wanted to get didn't work. It was Iggy Pop.
Oh,
You might have heard of him. He's a little
that
bit famous, right? So,
would have been sick. Yeah, he's going places, that kid.
yeah. So that would have been cool. But I didn't have direct contact, so maybe just went to his management. They weren't like, ah, no way, right? But I met Iggy and played shows with him. He's a super nice guy. If he had heard the idea, maybe we would have done, but whatever. The record's out and done. I'm really happy with that. I think it's an all-star lineup. Boy Band, Adolescents, Circle Jerks, Rancid, Slime, Fear, Toxic Reasons, Duff McKagan and Descendants, War on Women, Propaganda, Members of the Dead Kennedys. I'm singing on that track. The
Oh,
Defects from
yeah.
Ireland, and of course, my old buddies MDC.
Lineup early, though.
Yeah.
So with Duff McKagan, like DOA played with his band 10 Minute Warning in the 80s for at
Right.
least one show, I think. Or did you play with them more than the once?
Oh, played with a bunch of different bands that he was in. I think with Duff, we played Seattle, he went to a show. And we were one of the first bands he saw him. He was like 14. So the impression stuck
Oh,
with him, right?
nice.
And
Yeah.
later on, he was still pretty young, about 16. They might have been drumming, I think, in the Fastbacks, right? Great Seattle band, right? And there you are, John. You showed up on the screen. And
It turns out
yeah.
my camera's got a shutter on it. It has a physical shutter on it, which I didn't even know. I'm sorry, Joe. We're not here to talk about my camera. We're here to
It's
talk about
all
the
right. I
excellent.
understand. I'm actually president of the Worldwide Luddite Society. Must smash technology. Anyways, no. But Duff came up to our punk rock house in Vancouver when he was about 16 with the band. And it was one of these big houses, like 8 bedrooms. And all the parties after every show were at this house. And we called it the Plaza West, as opposed to the Plaza in New York. And it was
Oh,
a lot less glorious than the
yeah.
Plaza in New York City, right? So, anyways. Yeah, that made a big impression on him, and he really helped out a lot with all sorts of things.
You've kind of worked with him like throughout his entire career, your entire career. Like, how has that changed through the years, or has it?
You mean? Sorry, say that again. I'm sorry.
So you've worked with him throughout your entire career, pretty much in his entire career. Like, you've
Well,
seen him kind of like grow. How has
I
that
saw
been?
him. I saw him when he was younger a lot, right? In different bands that he's in. But when he got famous with Guns N' Roses, I didn't see them until like maybe 8 months ago, right? And then
Sure.
he got me and my family all tickets, and we went to see it. It was a fabulous show, and they're super great. And he joined us in Seattle. Show DOA is doing at a place called El Corazon, and I got hold of him and said, "Hey, you want to come up and play guitar and sing on a song?" And then so he showed up. We plugged in a guitar and we played The Prisoner together. You know, the whole band and Duff. And nice. Just this past week, he was doing a tour for his Lighthouse album, which is like a solo thing, like five guys, Duff singing. He has like four really good musicians with him. So he got me as the opening act. But it's just me playing electric guitar and singing. And of course, it's just me. So I'd say to the audience, like, look, I'm here. I guess I forgot to bring the other guys in DOA, but what the hell? I'm here. I'm going to play, right? You know, so yeah.
How does it make you feel when people or bands come up to you and you're like, DOA was my first punk show, or like, you know, you guys had such a were such an inspiration for me?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting the fact that in the early days, because we started in 78 and we played 4,500 shows in 50 countries on five continents, so we've been around a bit, shall we say, over 46 years. So, but a lot of the big bands at the time, like say Dead Kennedys, Ramones, The Clash, stuff like that, they would fly to places and just, you know, you play New York and, you know, Philly or something like that, or you fly out to the West Coast and play San Francisco and LA. But DOA is like kind of the first band that played every little town from A to Z across the United States, across America. And in a lot of cases, we were the first punk rock band that people in those small towns saw, or medium-sized towns. And after that, not long after that, would have been Black Flag. Because I sort of kept a book with all the contacts, right? Mm-hmm. And me and Chuck from Black Flag, good buddy of mine, we would exchange info, right? Well, don't go to Sacramento and play for this guy runs Can't Tell Productions. And Chuck said, what does that mean? I said, well, it means you can't tell what the hell you're going to get paid from this guy, right? You know, so that was the big impression was that we go back to a town the next time and have some opening bands, and they all sounded a little bit like DOA, because that's the first band they saw, right? In some of these smaller towns, right? Definitely. It was just like, you know, I got my education. The Ramones came to town, Vancouver, and they were so unknown. They put a ballroom, 1,100 people. They'd only sold two tickets. And
oh my God,
they hadn't quite caught on yet. This is one of my three or four favorite bands of all time. Yeah. So they gave away free tickets. So about 100 of us went down there. They played for about 35 minutes, walked off, and we all went, oh, so that's what punk rock is. We just got like a life lesson right there, right? You know, I mean, we've seen it on TV and stuff like that, but like in person, the ferocity and the songwriting and the personality was just like, our minds were blown. And then, been playing punk rock ever since.
It worked. The conversion worked.
Yeah.
Were there any bands' approach to the songs on the comp that surprised you?
Any bands that approached on the songs on the comp that what?
That surprised you?
Not really. I pretty well knew everybody. I did know War on Women, but they did a great version of Liar for Hire, and we did a tour with them in August for about 10 shows, and they were fun to hang around with, like really good band, right? Everybody else, the Deepnecks, because my drummer's from Northern Ireland, he got these guys there from Northern Ireland as well, right? So I had kind of heard them, but I don't think I've ever met them or anything like that. But we'll probably get over to Ireland next year, so I bet you would do some shows with them. Nice. Right, so I think they did a great version of Already Dead, too, right? So, but everybody else on the album I had met or knew or played shows with.
Did any band take a song in a direction that you weren't expecting?
Well, the one I'm just looking at the record here, we were quite surprised. Voivod, which is a great Canadian band, they did World War III. We thought it was going to be a real metal version. And that turned out that it was actually pretty faithful to the original. Like, we were kind of shocked and like, huh. You know, I mean, either way would have been fine, right? You know, because their style is their style. And they're a great band, right? So that's the one that took me by surprise, right? So everybody did great. Fear, And I finally met Lee Bing this summer. We did a bunch of shows with him. Strange enough, of all the old punk rockers, I had never met Lee before. So we did about six shows with him this summer. But they did a great version of New Age and did kind of took it in a different direction. So it's a, you know, more or less faithful to the song, but added, Lee added in a bunch of different melody that's not in the original, which is all good with me. I thought it was great.
Would you rather, if people or bands cover your songs, would you rather they make it as faithful to the original as possible or put their own twist on it?
I think just play your own way. That's the best way. That's what made you famous, right? You know, guys, you get a band. I always say to bands, like new bands, like, how do you make it? I go like, well, if you believe in what your style is, you just keep working at it. You get better and better and better, right? It's like when we took Nobody's No on the road for the first couple of tours. Punk rockers were scratching their heads down because they're kind of like, not quite punk, but you know, sort of punk, you know, jazz punk or something like that. And it was really interesting. And obviously they caught on and they just pursued their style and didn't change their style and became quite successful. So that's my advice. Just stick with what you like. And if it's good, then you're going to catch on.
Definitely. Just stick to your guns.
Yeah.
Do you have a song that wasn't on the comp that you'd like someone to cover?
Well, I've written about 500 songs, so I don't know which one to pick, right?
All of them.
Yeah, right. We'll have a volume 1 through 100, right? So I know I can't think of one. I think that the choices are all really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So like you've been touring for almost 50 years now. How do you feel the punk scene has changed in like recent years?
Well, I mean, I think it's still pretty strong in the way that younger bands, not all of them, but lots of them are picking up on the politics that, you know, like guys like me and Jello would talk about and other people, Joe Strummer, and they haven't lost that edge. And I think the main thing about punk rock to me is one of the key things is that its image belies actually what it is. Because you think of the old days, you know, back when I was young, you know, the press, you know, glorified Sid Vicious, AOD, he died, you know, was like, end up being like a screw up, unfortunately. And said, like, look how like dumb and demented punk rock is. But punk rock has always been about like caring for other people, standing up for people's rights and helping other people. So, and I think there's a lot of young bands like that, that follow that path. Right. So, you know, I meet them in town. So, I mean, like I said, I played 4,500 shows. So I think I've seen in my life about 16,000 bands.
Yeah.
So let's say a few. Do I remember the names of all of them? No, I do not. I'll be honest. Because I'll get guys saying, hey, 25 years ago, we opened for you. Remember us? I'm going like, oh, yeah. You guys were fucking great.
Yeah, you guys were awesome. Yeah.
But you see, now I'm in politics too, right? So,
right.
Actually, Joe, that's a great question. You're in politics now, and a big part of politics, so in punk rock, a lot of guys, and probably yourself included, are like, I say the truth, I say how I feel, I don't BS, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in politics, a big part of it is keeping this guy happy and keeping that guy happy, and the way you do it is not lying, but, you know, selectively choosing your words, perhaps. Do you try to juggle those ideals, or do you just straight up do the punk rock thing in politics? I'm very curious how politics is affected by your punk rock, and maybe also how your approach to punk rock has been affected by politics.
Yeah, both. I think both it goes both ways, like you suggested there. I think the thing is, you know, got elected, you have to stick to your ideals and not forget what put you there, because that's, you know, my main thing. And our new mayor, then we broke like a one party system, like. Six years ago, I've been reelected, so I'm halfway through my second term. Is that we said, well, you know, people that are like dispossessed or like homeless, they need help. We need to build affordable rental housing. We need to help our citizens and not just help developers. That's kind of how Mike Hurley is the mayor, how him and I broke through and got elected. And so I stick to that. I show up at City Hall. I don't have a leather jacket. I don't have a guitar. I wear a suit. I walk in the door and the staff calls me, oh, hello, Councillor Keithley. And I was going like, just call me Joe, right? But they stick with the yes, counselor. I'd go like, okay, whatever, right? You know, it's fine, but I don't care about titles, right? So it doesn't really matter. So you just stick to your guns and don't change. I think that's a really, really key thing. And you don't forget how you start. And I think that's what happens with a lot of politicians, because most of them start out as like, you know, city councilors or mayors, and then they work their way up, you know, Congress people, Senate, blah, blah, blah. They aspire to be president, you know, like most of them don't make that, obviously, right? But, and I think that a lot of times people get to that stage and they forget who they are, at how they started, and who supported them in their hometown. And I think that's a tragic mistake on a lot of politicians' parts. So that's what my big deal with politics is, like, to get other types of people to run, not just your lawyers, real estate agents, wealthy business people, stuff like that. You want the woman that runs a daycare. You want the plumber. You want a person that's an artist. You want a musician. You know, I encourage people like that. And you want young people involved too. I think that's really key. Not just a bunch of older people, right? That we got far too many of them in politics already. So I'm always encouraging when people that come across a different point of view and they're interested in politics, you know, like, you know what? It took me 6 times to get elected, but eventually I did. And I really enjoyed the job. Like, it's a lot of fun and you get to do good things for your community. So, yeah.
What would you say to someone who wants to become more politically active?
Say that again, sir.
What would you say to someone who wants to become more politically active?
Well, I mean, find some like-minded friends that want to work on key issues, whatever the key issues are to you. And I always go like, politics like starts from the ground up, as opposed to like the big governments, like, you know, the state or federal, whatever, provincial, that kind of thing. Up here in Canada, we call it provincial, obviously. That if you get a good idea, talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends about it. It'll spread. If it spreads like that, it'll spread through your town. If it's a really good idea, it'll spread through your area, through your state. If it's a great idea, it'll spread around your country and across the world. So just find some like-minded people to work with, because it's like, it's really a lot of work. I mean, I went and knocked on like 15,000 doors. And every time, it's like cold calling, being a salesman, because you don't know what's behind the door. I've been campaigning and a dog's come out and bit me, but I still get set and talking to the people because I wanted to get their vote. It wasn't a bad bite.
Yeah.
He was an old dog. He kind of just grabbed my leg and the owner grabbed him, right? And reprimand him, but I was fine. No, it was no problem, right? So,
yeah.
Joe, I don't want to punish you with too many political questions, but I have, I think, maybe a relatively important political question to ask you. Yeah. And I'm in America, M's in Canada, but in America, a lot of people are real bummed out that Trump got elected. I mean, unfathomable, yeah. But it happened, you know. A phenomenon that we're seeing in punk rock, maybe to a small degree, but we're definitely seeing, is punk rockers saying things like, oh, Trump is punk, or he's anti-authority and that's punk.
Right.
And I'm not saying punk has to be Democrat down the line, but it's whatever the definition of punk is, it's not Donald Trump in my perspective. I mean, it's the absolute antithesis. So I'm going to ask you, what would you say to the quote punks or people that are influenced by punk and say, yeah, Donald Trump is punk? Would it be, you're an idiot, I hate you? Or would it be, you're really not thinking this through? Or would it be, I agree with you? What would your response be to someone that thinks Donald Trump is in any way punk rock, if you will?
Well, I wouldn't say they're an idiot, because I wouldn't necessarily want like a fist fight right on the spot, right? So, yeah. I would think to myself, wow, you are an idiot, right? So, wow, this guy's a real idiot, right? I think that is like the strangest thing, to think that he's got anything there, because punk was always about freedom. Freedom of expression, and his ideas like spread obsession and suppression, right? You know, that the guy only thinks of himself, only cares about money, you know, and maybe helping a few of his rich friends, I guess, you know. But he's got nothing to do with punk rock, and I think it's a terrible to get reelected. When he got his 34 felony charges, this is one thing I did. I was watching the TV. And I go, oh, well, here it goes. Donald Trump will see if he's guilty or not. It went 1 through 34, all guilty. My job pretty well hit the table. I went, wow, okay, that's pretty conclusive. So I pulled up my local record pressing plant. I said, I need 1,000 of the DOA single Fucked Up Donald. I want you pressed in orange vinyl, and we'll release it as the 2024 felony orange vinyl edition, right? And I got it, and I looked at the good looks, and I just said, I laughed my ass off. This is great. Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I guess we survived one term. We'll see about surviving the next one. But, yeah. People in Canada are pretty worried. You know, he wants to put up, and people in Mexico, I'm sure, are worried too, right? So even though we're your neighbors, he's not coming out very neighborly, right? So,
Well, Joe, let me change it to kind of a happier thing. Is the cool thing for you is you're getting a tribute record while you're still out there doing your thing. You know, people often do tribute records after a band is broken up or whatever. What's it like to get the pat on the back from Circle Jerks, from Descendants, from MDC?
Yeah.
You know, that must feel like really good to have all these awesome bands do really awesome versions of songs you wrote. How does that feel?
Yeah, great. I was like, because we first came up with the idea, and we're going like, wow, can we make it happen? My drummer went, oh, yeah, I bet there's a lot of bands will do that. I mean, I really tried to get NOFX. I talked to Fat Mike a bunch of times, and we did a couple of the farewell shows with them. That would have been nice, but they were way too busy with that farewell tour, so it didn't work out. And we tried a few other really good bands, like GBH, I thought would work out, but didn't, right? So, but it's a great feeling, and I'm really pleased that I've got enough friends and, you know, I respect when people that go like, oh, yeah, sure, we'd do this, right? Because everybody was, like, really easygoing about it. There was no arm twisting. There was nothing like that. Yeah, we'll just record the track and send you the track. And it's like, it was, like, really, really straightforward. And people were, like, really exceptionally generous with their time. And I can't thank them enough. What a great, great bunch of people involved in the record. So I'm pretty pleased with it, put it that way.
And I've got two more questions for Joe, and then I'll throw it back to you. Joe, my second to last question. So I love Let Them Eat Jelly Beans, an amazing comp with Circle Jerks, yeah. Dead Kennedys, Joe on it. So, Joe, I'm just curious, how did you get to know Keith Moore / Circle Jerks? How did that relationship first start? Was that on tour, or what was that like? Actually, I got three questions for Joe. I'm sorry, Joe, but that's my first of three questions.
Well, I mean, we played with the Black Flag when we were still singing. And then later on, I went with the Circle Jerks. And then Keith is just a really funny man, a really generous soul, and just a really all-around nice guy, right? And it's just like, so we've been buddies for like a long time. And it was just like, and I've known Greg Hetson forever and all the guys in the band type thing, you know. So it's an honor to have them playing, because they're definitely one of my top 10 bands. What a fucking great band, right? You know, all sorts of great records, great songs. So, yeah, I mean, with just the early days, like just all those shows, because we'd show up and, you know, sometimes we'd show up with the Black Flag and there'd be like 1,000 people. Another night we'd show up, there'd be like 40 people. The early days were pretty rough, right? So, like, you didn't know what you're going to get, right? It depending on the size of town and night of the week and all that kind of stuff.
Well said. My second to last question is, there's a very famous minor threat. DOA is often credited, and I don't know how Joe received these accolades or not, but DOA is credited with the band, along with Black Flag, but even before Black Flag, as being the band that set the template for punk rock touring, which is pretty cool. Ian MacKay has this famous story where DOA came down to play a high school gymnasium, and I think either Minor Threat or Teen Idols played. And at the end of the day, they passed the hat around and DOA got the money in the hat. And Ian formed this philosophy in that if DOA can come down from Canada to play a show for a hat, then we'll never not make a gig. And so that's kind of what cemented the idea for Minor Threat and Fruit Guys, that they never miss a gig. Do you remember that show that is so iconic in Ian's mind?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Or is that just like another show for you? You know?
Well, no. It was like, just we were like, it's one of those things we had a few of these experiences, like, you know, like, okay. So the manager's going, okay, well, I think the show's over here. Or he's looking at a map or like reading some instructions. Like, we didn't have cell phones that would work like that in those days. And, and of course, like, when we can't find the show, or the band starts going like, are you sure you know where the show is? And then we get to a gymnasium. We're like, is this right? Oh, and you know, there might be some doubt. Okay, is this going to be any good? I mean, that same thing happened in Reno one time. We end up into the suburbs and put in somebody's garage, and there's 100 kids in there. It was like out of control. It's great, but that show was great, and the early DC scene was there, and Henry was there, obviously Ian, all sorts of other people that played in all sorts of great bands, right? And Ian's always been like really generous with us too, right? So it's just kind of like, he's a great guy. And there's just like, I think you just want to go and you commit to playing the show. And I think in all our time, DOA's only ever missed one show. Two of the guys couldn't get into Detroit from Canada. So me and Chuck played, and we got this kid drummer who was supposed to be really good. And we got on stage, and the guy couldn't drum his way out of a wet paper bag. it was some place in Detroit that the grinning duck. And so it didn't actually cancel, but only half the band showed up, right? So Chuck eventually went on drums. I just played guitar, and we played songs, some songs. We got $100. So that was it, right? So
That's pretty crazy that you guys have only, you even made the gig with only one show. Before I ask my last question, I'm going to remind people, the new DOA tribute record is out now on Sudden Death Record for a mere $11 on CD and $25 on vinyl. Very reasonable. I've heard it. It's friggin' awesome. If you like DOA, you'll love it. If you like any of the bands on it, you'll love it. It's a really right. cool, really well done tribute record. It's awesome. I also want to mention that Joe is responsible for the only Jello Biafra ska song ever. It's on the We Occupy EP, and also on Joe's DOA album has a version too, where it's Jello and Joe doing ska, and it's awesome. Joe, my last question to you is: the Jello and DOA record has just got reissued. I know you're very determined, direct, focused, with great foresight when writing. You know what you want to do when you're writing and recording for sure. Jello is a maniac. You just have to tell me, what's it like, Joe and Jello writing and recording together? What is that like? I have to know.
It was pretty funny because we worked on it, because we did one song for a movie called Terminal State Ricochet, and it went pretty well. So then Jello called back a couple weeks later and said, well, we're trying to do a whole album. We'll use that song come with some new songs. So then he showed up, but he didn't play guitar, so he would have all the stuff in a tape recorder, so he would hum the riff. I go, okay. So I sit there on the guitar, is like, is that right? No, not quite right. It was pretty funny, like that progress. I remember doing like that do 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 type thing. He's humming it like really fast. I'm going, okay, slow down a bit until I get the notes here. So, yeah, and they, you know, they said, like, let's put a feel on this, like, I can't remember what song it was, but, God, we heard some band, and they kind of copped a feel from a band, was a Japanese band or something like that, I forget which one. But then when we did Full Metal Jackal, which is, like, really a great, great song, the whole record's good, we just learned in the studio. So I'm going, well, it's so long, like the song's 14 minutes long. I go, how do we know where the parts are? And he goes, well, I said, well, why don't you just signal us? Okay, when it's the verse, put your hands out to the side. He went, okay. And I said, when it's the chorus, put your hands above your head, like he's singing. And me and Wimpy and John Carr and Chris Broholm are all watching him. Like, so he was like the conductor. And we just went, okay. And we did a couple of takes and went like, okay, we got it. It worked out pretty quickly, actually. So it was really fun doing that record, and I'm really glad that it's out again, because it's a great record. The Lost Scream of the Missing Neighbors.
Easily one of my favorite records of all time. During COVID, that's all I was listening to. I just like fell into like a re-listen loop, and it was just like...
I think I would have gone nuts if that was the only record I listened to, right? But even though I like it a lot too.
You do reach a point, but then it's like... comes back around. Would you ever do a Last Scream of the Missing Neighbors part two?
I've asked Joe a bunch of times, like, you know, let's either do another one or let's tour it live. Because I think we toured it live and the DOA played and he sang, like, boatloads of people would show up, right? So,
hell yeah.
I send your emails and letters to him asking, Joe suggested that you do a tour with that record. Why don't you do it, right? I've been trying for 20 years to talk him into that. He's a good friend, but you know, he's got his own idea of how things should work, and that perfect Upton. He's had a great career and been a great, great, great performer and songwriter.
John, do you have any more questions before I kind of bring her home?
I guess we could bring it home. So once again, the new record, the new tribute record, is out via Sudden Death. It's called DOA, No Escape From What You Are. It's got Circle Jerks, Rancid, Descendants, Joe with the other members of Dead Kennedys, East Bay Ray, Klaus, doing a DOA track, which is cool. Fear, Propaganda, Duff of Guns N' Roses, and of the Farts, the early LA, Portland punk band, Slime, yeah. Voivod, Toxic Reasons, Defect, War Women, the NDC. It's super good. It's a fantastic tribute record. So definitely check it on out. Joe, thanks for coming on the show. Yeah. And go to Sudden Death Records. Also, one last thing I want to mention. Go to SuddenDeath.com. Joe's got all the right. DOA. And if DOA has more tour dates, they're going to be there. But I'm not trying to pimp for Joe too much. But I mean, the online store is just killer, man. He's got pretty much every DOA record. He's got all these rare variants. He's got other bands like Pointed Sticks, great band. Yeah. Just a ton of awesome stuff to check on out there. So be sure to check that. Oh, also, I don't know if it's up there. Joe, didn't you put out like a damned live 7-inch once or something?
Was an album. So we put out like an entire album on CD and LP called Molson Lager.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Right. So there was a single off of it, which... now escapes me which song it was from.
Disco Man's on it for sure. I know
Disco Man's on it. The single, that's right.
Yeah.
And there was also like an four-song EP. Basically, we stopped pressing it. A guy from Germany licensed that to us. And then the funny thing is, if you do get the record, especially if you get the CD, there's this awesome picture of all the damn standing there drinking this Molson Lager. And then Rat Scapey's just sneaking up from behind him with this giant knife. Like, and I just met Rat for the first time about 4 months ago. The Dam was playing Vancouver, and I got backstage and said hello to those guys. And Rat was awesome. He was like hilarious beyond belief, right? So, but if you get the CD, that Molson Lager, just look for that picture inside because he's got this maniacal look on his face, like, I'm going to get you. Maybe that's why he was out of the band for a while. I have no idea.
Well, very cool, Joe. Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks be sure so to check much. Out SuddenDeath.com. Check out the new tribute record of them. I'll throw it back to you to close it on down.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks so much for being on.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. Okay. Take care.
Have a good night.
You too. Thank you. You too.
Thanks.
And we're going to play one of the tracks from the DOA tribute record. We'll do the Circle Jerks track because, you know, why not, man? And we'll be back.
Darkness, billy clubs are aimed. They smash you once or twice, and you don't look the same. You got to know who your enemy is. The enemy! You got to know who your enemy is. The enemy! They rope you to a clock, keep you online. And now you're losing pieces of your mind. You got to know who your enemy is. The enemy! You got to know who your enemy is. The enemy! The newsmen are lying, going like they're black and white, making you believe it's your brother you gotta fight. You got to know who your enemy is. The enemy! You got to know who your enemy is. The enemy! The enemy! The enemy!
We gotta have a drive-by over at the big sty. Watch a burning sky!
we'll be back. M, I was trying to give you the closing word, but I think we've had this happen before where I've said M, blah, 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 and the person thinks I'm talking to. You remember who the other person was, M? Where I kept saying M, but they thought I was talking to them. I kept saying
I think it was the cunts, one of them.
Might have been.
I think it was them.
Yeah. Anyway, Joe, that's always good. A cool guy. Always good. So M, cool. Great question with the Jello part two. Great question.
Thank you.
I don't think we're gonna get it, frankly, but it would be honestly that Jello and DOA album is super great. I used to not like Full Metal Jack Off, the song, but then one day it just clicked and now I freaking love it. It's like that whole record is super good. Super good.
Oh my god, yeah. The first time I don't remember like the first time I listened to it. I think I was like 13 or 14, and it was just like constant and stuff.
Oh, so that was last year you heard it for the first time?
Yeah. Came out the womb, heard the record.
So anyways, man, Joe always with good answers. And in the punk news world, M, Philadelphia, New Year's Eve, Leftover Crack, the punk rockin' New Year's Eve. Punk rockin' New Year's Eve. That's going to be December 31st in Philly. Leftover Crack's headlining. They got some special stuff planned. That's going to be awesome. Also playing is Beach Cheetah, which is a cool surf punk band. In that band is Lita Gray, who used to be in Pushing It to the Limit. Also playing is The Membranes, which is kind of like a Johnny Thunders type band. Also playing is Mauricio Mercado, who is a mariachi. One night about in Philadelphia, there's this hole in the wall taqueria next to a Wawa. If you know what a Wawa is, underneath I-95, the main one of the two main highways that goes in and out of Philadelphia. And I stopped in that taqueria. Actually, it was probably after seeing, Dog Party or something. It'd be about a year ago, and there's nobody in there, and it's 3 a.m.
Oh, no.
There's this mariachi singer in there, and the music is deafening, M. Absolutely deafening. Like, it's so insanely loud. I'm like, why is it so loud? And all the employees are like they don't seem to be thinking it's loud. They're just, like, standing there, like, working or whatever. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is so insanely loud. Like, I just came from a punk show, and I think it's loud. I'm like, this is really loud, you know? And he's singing, he's going, yo, made no man. And I'm like, yeah, this guy's like, he's like really, really good. And so between one of his songs, I start talking. I'm like, hey, man, I put on like shows. Would you want to come play one of my shows? And he's like, see. And I think he thinks I'm bullshitting him, but I get his contact info. And a year later, I'm like, hey, man, so I'm throwing this show. Do you want to come sing at the show? And I thought he would like say no or whatever, but he's like, yeah, I'll do it. I'm like, hell yeah. So we have a genuine, like, this is not like a punk, like, it's not like the Bronx where it's like punk rock guys doing mariachi. This is a bona fide, straight up mariachi singer, and like a traditional mariachi singer. It's going to be awesome. Also, we've got Henry Thugsworth and the Servinator, which are two 12-year-old rappers, and we also and honestly, I thought like someone said you should have them on, and I thought like maybe they'd be like really, really good or something. It's about what you think two 12-year-old rappers would sound like, which is going to be awesome. And then we also have Rusty Pigeon, which is a folk punk band that has Ginger of the Drugettes and Ginger of the Ramones in it. So it's going to be a super rad night for only $25 on New Year's Eve. M, you can't beat that. The show, knock on wood, is going to sell out, so you'll want to get your tickets. Don't be like the Dwarf Show, although actually it was kind of cool, but don't be like the Dwarf Show where I tell people for weeks it will sell out, so get your tickets, and then it sells out. And everyone's like, drat, I was just about to get my ticket, I can't get in. John, can you get me in? What's the answer going to be, M?
No.
No, the answer is no. I can't get you in. I won't get you in. Buy your ticket now. Now's your chance. There are tickets left. It's only $25 for New Year's. I mean, there's places that charge $100, $200, $300 for New Year's Eve. I'm charging a measly $25, Em. So you can't beat
it.
Don't come crying to me when it sells out. I will have no, my ears will be deaf to your crying and tears. I won't hear them. I won't see them, Em. And that's how, so anyway, it's gonna be an awesome show. I know the band's extremely psyched. We've got some really cool, unique stuff planned. It's gonna be a once in a lifetime show. So it's gonna be rad, Em. That's awesome. December 31st in Philadelphia. Em, you should come on down for it.
That would be cool. I will see. It depends on the snow.
Oh yeah,
good. It depends on the weather.
Okay, so let's hit some news. And we haven't talked about the punk rock boring headliners yet, have we?
We have not. We just did our guesses the last time around.
And we were actually mostly right. We were like almost mostly right, which is kind
of. We had a lot of good ones.
So the Punk Rock Bowling has announced its lineup, and I'm going to pull it up right now. I should have had it pulled it up previously. So here we go. The headliners for Punk Rock Bowling are
PRB.
And I'm going to be frank because we might not be able to be as frank in the future this year. We'll see. So anyways, Peter Hook and the Light headlining, doing all the
division.
Social Distortion, Cox Bar, Power Trip is playing, Interrupters, Flag, Frank Turner, The Damned, Fiddler, Amigo the Devil, who is that a punk band name? Like, what is Amigo the Devil? I've heard that name. Is it like a screamo? I think it's either a screamo band or like a band. Is it like a folk band?
I think lean more folk than, but not screamo.
Yeah, I think they're. I think it's like really not my style, frankly. So anyway, yeah, Amigo the Devil. Let's see. Oh, now my computer's freezing up. Great.
Lambrie Girls.
Oh, here we go. Yes. Addicts, Bouncing Souls, Gang of Four, Bad Nerves, Large Ann Grace with Mikey Ergen, Matt Patton, and
Paris.
Is Paris a Mississippi Medical? Because originally Paris was not a Mississippi Medical. Is Paris now a Mississippi Medical? Because originally the Mississippi Medicals were Mikey Ergen, Matt Patton.
Yeah, Paris is a Mississippi Medical. She sent all the press photos.
So it's not Large Ann Grace with Paris and the Mississippi Medicals. Paris is now an official Mississippi Medical.
Yes.
Okay. Cockney Rejects, Youth Brigade, Bridge City Sinners, Pie Tasters, Riverboat Gamblers, Surfboard, Angel Dust, Spiritual Cramp, Co-Defendants, The Baboon. There's this band, The Baboon Show, that I've never heard of that is popping up all over. And have you heard of Baboon Show? I've never heard of this band.
No, like the exact same thing. It's like I'm seeing their name everywhere, and it's like, who are you?
Yeah, people
should probably look them up.
I think they're like more known in the UK because they're having like a 20th anniversary or something. And it was like, Baboon Show. I'm like, I've never heard this band ever. Civic, Kid Capici, Lambrini Girls, No Bro, Made of Ace, Bad Waitresses,
Woo!
Jen of the Degenerates, some other bands that I haven't really heard.
Made of Ace.
Well, I said Made of Ace. And,
you did?
I did.
Ah.
I've seen Made of Ace. They played Punk Rock Bowling. They're pretty cool. Nice. Punk Rock Bowling is Memorial Day weekend 2025. And Mr. Beast is a sponsor. How do you like that?
Mr. Beast.
Right. So is Past Blue Ribbon. Why am I reading the sponsors?
I don't really know.
So screw Past Blue Ribbon. I've got my. I don't have my ticket to Punk Rock Bowling, but I have my hotel. I don't have my plane ticket, but I gotta get that. And 92% chance I'm going. Yes. I think the headliners are not killer. I think it's cool, not killer. Peter Hook and the Light. Honestly, like if there was two other killer headliners, I would be super psyched. I've seen Peter Hook. He's awesome. But I've seen it before. So that's not that big of a deal to me, you know. Social Distortion, I don't care about at all. Cox Sparrer, I know a lot of people absolutely love them. I guess I like them, but I'm not super psyched. Power Trip with a new singer, I don't really care. Interrupters, I actually, even though Interrupters are kind of past their buzziest days, and even though a lot of people have issues with them one way or another, I'm excited to see Interrupters because I've never seen Interrupters, so I really am excited to see them. Flag, I'm extremely excited to see. Frank Turner, I don't care about. Damned, I'm excited to see, but I've seen him in... Hey, Frank Turner played last year, didn't he? Or was it the year before?
No, I don't think it was last year. He's really good live, though. Yeah, really, really good live.
I was bored, Emma. I was bored. Oh. The Damned, I'll be seeing them in Philadelphia, but I'm definitely excited to see them. Gang of Four doing all of that's entertainment. I've seen that before, but that's real cool. The rest of the bands, and Surfboard, of course, I'm psyched about. I got to say,
No Bro and Bad Waitress. Come on, yeah, you got to get your CanCon in.
I'll go see No Bro for sure. And Bad Waitress, I'll go check him out. I know, bro. I like a lot. I'm not blown away by this lineup. I wonder if it said Flag instead of Social Distortion at the top, would I be more blown away? Like if it said Flag and Damned, would I be more blown away at the top? You know, maybe I would. You know, maybe it's all perception. Mm-hmm. But I got to say, there's a lot of bands here. Yeah, I'll check out, but I don't really care about so much. And that just means I can just get there later. Hopefully the club shows will be real cool. Although, man, like. I don't know. And I feel like Surfboard might not be around for that much longer. So any chance I can conceivably see them, I definitely will. I saw Surfboard I guess about 3 months ago, it was it was killer. It was Surfboard with Circle Jerks and Ascendants. And Surfboard was so freaking good. They were so freaking good. I went to see Surfboard instead of Bikini Kill, and I'm not sorry. Surfboard was so insanely good. But I think they're not going to be around that long because they had so much hype on the first record and they delivered. Like, that first record got a lot of press. And if you recall, and like, people were talking about Amel and Surfboard in the same sentence. I mean, I don't know if Sally's the right word, but Amel is a much bigger band now than Surfboard, you know? And then Surfboard put out their second record, which actually I thought was even better than the first. I absolutely loved it. And of course, Four Non Blondes produced, Linda Perry produced it, and it was freaking great. But it got like no press because they did this weird thing where it wasn't exclusive to SoundCloud or something. And it's SoundCloud is like yesterday's news, man. You know what I mean? Like, and so it didn't really get hardly any press. And then the band had management issues. And now they're back and they say they're making a third album. And I'm psyched for it, man. I'm sure it's going to be awesome because they played new songs live when I saw them and they were killer. But I just feel like once you have that initial buzz and once it kind of washes away, it's hard to recapture that. Although, that being said, some bands are able to keep going in spite of that. But it's tough, man, especially when you get that immediate huge snap. Now, to be fair, Surfboard was actually around for about 4 years before they got that huge buzz, but they don't really have that huge buzz now. You know what I mean? And it's a shame because they're friggin' awesome. So I feel like they're not going to be around for that much longer. I'm psyched to see him. Actually, almost definitely I'm going to go 95% chance because how many times am I going to get to see Flag again, Em? Like, really? You know what I mean? You know, Circle Jerks is like full on these days, you know? So it doesn't leave a whole lot of room for Flag. Damned, I can see him in Philly, but I'll probably see him in Punk Rock Bowl. That'll be awesome. Gang of Four will be awesome. Maybe there'll be a Gang of Four club show. So, Em, I'm going to give this lineup 6.5 out of 10.
Low.
Yeah, well, it's not that. I mean,
the fact of the matter is that
at Punk News, our we have terrible inflation. You know what I mean? Like at Punk News, 7 out of 10 is considered a bad score when it used to be a great score. I mean, I'll give it a 7 out of 10. Actually, for Flag and Damned and Surfboard alone, it's got to get a 7 out of 10. But Gang of Four, which will be real cool, and Interrupters. So there's a lot to psych here. Maybe if I saw the actual daily lineup, I'd be more psyched. You know what I mean? Because it's just this big ocean. But when you see the daily lineup, you say, oh, there's like a 4-hour block of nonstop awesomeness. Also, hopefully Surfboard will do a club show. Maybe Gang 4 will do a club show. Maybe I think there was a Damn club show 1 year. A lot of people are like Flag club show. Probably unlikely because Keith Morris, I believe, does not like to do 2 shows in 1 day or even 2 days. But maybe I'm wrong. You know, I don't know. At any rate, pretty cool, man. I got to say. And actually, I'm going to mention one thing. So, Em, what's your reaction? And I got one more thing to add that. But what's your reaction to this lineup?
Okay. To the lineup, I agree.
What do you give it, Em? What rating do you give it?
Oh, I think I probably give it a 7.5. Because there's a lot of bands that I like. And there's a lot of bands that, like, I'm really glad they're playing, like No Bro and Bad Waitress. Because it's like they're absolutely fucking insane, and I'm so glad they're on, and they're gonna be like more people are gonna see them and know about them and everything. I agree with the Social Distortion
I never cared about Social Distortion, but after the whole Dixon thing, I really don't care about Social Distortion. I really don't care about Social Distortion. You know,
they haven't done. I don't think they said anything.
Nothing.
So it's like, address the elephant in the room, maybe? Addressing it, they've made their statement.
From a sheer strategy standpoint, from not talking, I guess, morality or politics or punk ethos, from a sheer strategy standpoint, they're making the right move. And the fact of the matter is, 90% to 95% of Social Distortion's fans, they don't even know about the whole thing. And if they did know, most of them wouldn't even care. You know what I mean? So just by ignoring it, it will go away and it won't affect them long term. Whereas if they push back, it'll kind of start a fire. Now, they do have a position to say, you know, we're really not cool with this. And that might actually make them look cooler. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, if you ask me, they're strictly a paycheck band. So whatever makes the paycheck comes in easiest is what they're going to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they kind of have that vibe, for sure. But if, like, it was Well, and I guess I understand why Coxspire is there, because I think it's their final punk rock bowling appearance.
Yeah,
So I think they're going to do something like really big for it. But yeah,
and
like
that's
I thought Flag or the Damned would be kind of where Social Distortion was, or is, I guess I should
Black.
say.
I would, but I wouldn't, because actually Social Distortion is surprisingly huge. They're like bigger than Bad Religion. They're bigger than NOFX. They're not quite Green Day big, but Social Distortion is a bizarrely big band, like bizarrely. I was going to say something. What did you just say? I was going to comment on something. Oh, it is, I mean,
Cox
I'm not
Bar.
A huge Coxspire guy, but it is cool that they're playing, because Coxspire definitely is a punk rock bowling band, in that a lot of fans associate Coxspire with punk rock bowling. So it's cool they're doing one last time this. So that, I mean, I'm not a fan, but it's cool that that's happening. You know what I mean? So if it was me, I would definitely swap out Social Distortion. Peter Hook,
I think he deserves to stay.
No, oh, Peter Hook definitely deserves to stay. The question is, we're not talking draw. We're talking punk credibility, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little difficult for me to have Peter Hook be a top headliner, because it's very cool. Peter Hook and the Light doing Joy Division. It's very cool. But it's not Joy Division. It's one guy from Joy Division doing Joy Division, you know? And so for me, it's tough to have that be the headliner, you know? Unless it was like David Johansen does the New York Dolls. You know what I mean?
Why would that be different?
Because A, all the other New York Dolls are dead.
Oh, fair enough.
B, it's David Johansen, the singer. So that's why that would be different for me. And C, I love Joy Division, but if I got to pick New York Dolls or Joy Division, I'm picking New York Dolls. So it's a little tough for me to say that's the first headline, although it's going to be awesome. I think the fans, like if you look at last year, it was Madness, definitely a headliner. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Descendants, I've seen it a million times, but definitely a headliner. And who was the other one? I think I didn't go at Punk Rock Bowling last year.
I thought you did.
No, I went to Punk Rock Bowling, but I can't remember if I stayed around for that headliner
or
if I went to a club show.
Devo.
Oh, no. Oh, I definitely stuck around for that. Yeah, Madness, Devo, Descendants. To me, that's a Punk Rock Bowling headline. You know, Madness, Devo, Descendants, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Whereas Peter Hook does Joy Division, which is very cool. Social Distortion and Coxspire. And actually, Em, if you look, Social Distortion has the biggest font on the poster. I do wonder if that was contractually agreed upon.
Let me see. I just need... You know what? Maybe. Yeah, because, like, Coxspire is tiny. Like, compared to them.
Social Distortion is definitely a bigger font than the other bands. So yeah.
I agree. Contractually obligated. I like the buttons on the poster. It looks cool.
That's
and the
that,
dice.
That does look cool. So yeah, I mean the actual layout is pretty cool on this poster. So yeah, anyways, so I mean it looks pretty cool. You know, like I said, like I had a great time last year, or this year I should say.
What
is cool is if you only care about half the bands, in a way, sometimes that's better than caring about all. Well, sort of it. Like that one year, like I said, where it was like Surfboard, Sloppy Seconds, Damned, Flag. The whole I was there the whole time, all 3 days. I'm like, wow, you know, which is fun. On the other hand, when you only care about half the bands, you can kind of chill out and, you know, go get a sandwich or something, you know, and then go back. You
know? Yeah. Yeah, get out of the heat.
Actually, last year, it wasn't that hot, which was nice. I'm sorry, what's that, Em?
Oh, Kid Capici are going to put on, like, a killer show. It wasn't too bad for heat last year, you're saying?
Yeah, it wasn't. The year before was pretty hot. But anyway, so psyched to see Surfboard, psyched to see Flag. Psyched to see the Interrupters. Em, would you be psyched? I'm curious, would you be psyched to see the Interrupters, or you wouldn't care?
I can take them or leave them. I only like a handful of songs. So.
Really?
Yeah, like they're okay. I'm not, and well, I don't like Amy's politics or whatever the fuck.
So is that why you don't like it? Because of Amy's See, Amy's been kind of funny with her politics. Amy said some whacked out stuff 10 years ago, but she hasn't reiterated them, but she hasn't retracted them either, which does put them in a perhaps uncomfortable position. So, Em, do you not like them because of the music or because of Amy's previous stances, or because they're kind of a Disneyfied band that it was kind of created and put together?
I just like a couple songs, and other than that, I don't really like it.
Really? You don't love the third album? See, I love the Interrupters' third album. I really do.
Like, it has good moments, but I don't listen to it fully. You know what I mean?
But why? I mean, you think it's boring or what?
I just, It's like if I want to listen to ska, I'll listen to something else.
So you feel it's derivative?
A little bit.
Do you feel it's like, do you feel it's too Disney?
It's very like squeaky. Like it's very clean.
Not
like
you.
Squeaky like tone, just like the mouse.
It's kind of Disney. I get you.
Yeah.
Still, I love the third
Nothing
record.
Against it, but
I love the third record. I like the first two. The fourth one I really thought was not that good. Which is funny because the whole time I'm like, you know, the Interrupters, like if they would just like step away from Tim, they'd be better. They don't need Tim. And they stepped away from Tim and I'm like, oh. Anyways, I'm psyched to see him. I've never seen him. So that'll be cool. So Punk Rock Bowling. And last Punk Rock Bowling question. Which of these bands do you think will be doing club shows? Em, I will say there's one very, very cool special. Actually, two things, and then we'll get to that, Em. Not to pull this out. But there is one special thing that I'm actually really, really excited to see. It is – I'm trying to figure out who it was. It is – they actually, like, didn't make it that clear, and I thought they would have made it more of a big deal. Give me a second here, Em.
Just one thing. I'm looking at the poster, and this is pissing me off.
Cockney Rejects with Olga of Toy Dolls singing. I thought they should make a huge deal out of
that's
that
right.
Because Toy Dolls never play USA. Like, that would be freaking awesome, man. Like, I love the Toy Dolls. Yeah. Cockney Rejects, they're fine. You know, they're a street punk band. But with Olga, I'm like, wow. Like, I don't think they'd make a big deal about that, and they really did not at all, you know? So
I thought it would at least be on the poster. Like, it was just on the website.
Like Cockney Rejects with Olga, who never plays USA ever, you know? So I you know, so that's pretty cool. So anyway, question, then we'll get to club shows. Is there enough spice on this lineup, Em? Is there enough is there enough spice there? I'm gonna say not quite enough spice, not quite enough things that that's super unique or interesting. You know what I mean?
I think there is a mild level of spice. I think, like, there's some really, really cool, like, UK bands. There's some really, really cool, like, Canadian bands. There's some really cool American bands. They also fucked up. No Bro is one word. They have it as two. They have a space.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. There's a space between No and Bro.
Emma, I'm looking at the poster right now. There's no space there.
I'm looking at the poster and there's a space.
Em, are you at punkrockbowling.com?
Oh, no, I'm looking at the one on Reddit.
We should go to punkrockbowling.com, Em. There's no space there. I will say, even though I was, I guess, not dissing, but being somewhat critical of Peter Hook, and I will say that is a spicy choice, Em. You know what I mean? I did not
that
expect that.
That is a spicy choice.
So they fixed it, good. Here's why I'm disappointed, I guess. I think I was expecting Iggy Pop, Em. Like, what if it was Peter Hook, Iggy Pop, and Cox Sparrer?
That would be,
like, be
wild.
Yeah, like Peter Hook, Iggy Pop, Cox Sparrer, Interrupters, Flag, Damned. Now that's, you know what I mean? That's my problem. That's my problem right there. It's the main headliner I really don't care about at all. I wish it was Iggy Pop. That being said, Peter Hook, kind of spicy.
Yes.
Cocky Rejects with Olga, kind of spicy. Gang of Four doing all of the first record, kind of spicy. And maybe Flag, kind of spicy, because they haven't been around for like 6 years at this point, or like 4 years at this point, you know?
I call Flag spicy.
But I think it could use some more spice, frankly, you know?
Who would you add to spice your up?
Well, you know, sometimes they bring in like reggae legends, like the Skatalites or somebody. So I would say Rose of Black Uhuru, or I would say like Yellow Man. Or I would say, like, I'm trying to think who else, like, reggae-wise might fit. Oh, I got the perfect answer, Em. The perfect answer.
Let's hear it.
Dev Gordon of The Equals. Of course, The Equals wrote Police on My Back. And Eddie Grant, who wrote most of the songs, went on to become Eddie Grant to Electric Avenue. Dev Gordon is the singer of the Equals, the UK's first black and white rock band. And he does a tour where he does all Equals songs, so that would be spicy and cool.
That's very cool. That would be, like,
I'm trying to think what might be spicy. Let's see here. I gotta say, maybe at the top, maybe some more women acts. Peter Hook and Light, no women. Social Distortion, no women. No. Cox Bar, no women. Power Trip, no women. Enruptors, one woman. Flag, no women. Frank Turner, no women. Damn, no women. Fiddler, no women. Amigo the Devil, no women. Addicts, no women. Bouncing Souls, no women. Gang of Four, no women. So, you know, I would say like the Slits, but Ari Up is dead. So, you know, maybe somebody like Bikini Kill or remember when they had like Charles Bradley. So it could be like a female soul singer would be like really, really cool. Or like, I'm trying to think like what woman, like, of course the Avengers are always awesome.
Alice Bag.
But she, it'd be tough to have her be a headliner though. But like Bikini Kill could be a headliner hypothetically. Maybe you know. But like Bikini Kill or let me think. It really is too bad that Ari Up is dead. I mean, it really is, because like Ari Up would be freaking amazing at Punk Rock Bowling. So I don't. I'm trying to. Let me think. Who might be like really cool to have up there? It could be cool to have something like. I'm not even a huge Sonic Youth fan, but it'd be cool to have something like Kim Gordon up there. Or let's see who else.
Blondie.
Yeah, I don't think they could have. Actually, maybe they probably could afford Blondie. They really want to, I think they could. Blondie, yeah. Blondie instead of Social D would be huge. If they can afford D, they can afford Blondie. Blondie instead of Social D would be amazing. Would actually be like the spiciest and best choice, I think. So Em, who do you think is going to do club shows? Blondie? Dev Gordon?
I hope so. That'd be cool. Just be like, hey, surprise. And then you can see them in this like intimate setting.
Yeah.
That would be really cool. So people who do club shows are not on the lineup typically?
Not yet. No, they announce that after the new year usually.
I'm sticking with Alice Bag.
And another spicy addition, Marissa Paternoster and Noun. They could have Marissa.
They could have. That would have been good. Maybe she'll do a club show.
Maybe.
I'm trying to think of like cool bands that aren't on there that would like
Alice Bag is a good suggestion for a club show because she's played before and she lives actually she lives in Mexico now. She doesn't live in Mexico now?
She moved back.
Okay, well then does she live in LA again?
I think so. She's back in the States. I was like watching her YouTube channel with her and her husband when they like were moving and stuff, and then they're like, we're moving back. So I think they're moving back to Los Angeles.
So you know, LA right down the street from Las Vegas. So that's definitely a possible club show, be Alice Bag. So that'd be cool. For me, I'm gonna say the club shows are gonna be. I'm thinking there might be a Damned club show, Em, and that would be freaking amazing. I've seen Damned. Actually, why am I so amazed by that? I've seen Damned in a club like three times. Why am I so like, oh my god, I couldn't believe that? I've seen that three times and it was awesome. You know, I don't know. I think it's going to be Surfport club show. And honestly, the fact of the matter is a lot of times the club shows are even more fun than the main thing. So anyway, I'm pumped. I'm almost definitely going to go. And M says she's going to go too, which will be cool.
That'd be sick. Yeah, I'm getting on a plane for the first time in like 2 days. We'll see how that goes. Thunder Bay.
What are you doing out there? Is that Alaska?
No, that's Northern Ontario.
What are you doing out there?
Going to a show and like hanging out with a friend for their birthday.
What show?
Mariana's Trench.
Is that like post rock?
I guess you could call it that. Yeah, it's good. It's like maybe it's more alt leaning. I don't know. They're good. I like them.
Well, that'll be fun. So, yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Are you staying at a hotel or are you crashing at somebody's house?
Hotel. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I just had to like remember what's going on. It's been a week.
Nice hotel or like a crappy hotel?
Mid-range.
Yeah, honestly, like back in the day, I used to go to like crappy hotels, but honestly, like I'm not a diva by any means, but like honestly, like it's just a bummer, especially if you're on vacation. It's a total bummer. Get at least a mid range, or if you're in Las Vegas, get a nice hotel, because even though it's not as cheap as it used to be, it's still relatively cheap, you know.
Anyways, you're not running the risk of bed bugs or like other pests.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Okay, Em, how about this one? we actually kind of ignited a fire at Punk News across the internet. So Jake Hout of the Dead Boys quit the Dead Boys, and he did a Facebook post, and then we reported on it. And then actually I got a nasty call from the Dead Boys and Cleopatra's publicist, who I know. It's kind of a funny conversation. I'll talk about it. So anyway, Jake quit the Dead Boys. He said, I'm quitting the Dead Boys because they want to make a fake Dead Boys album with Steve Bader's AI, and they want to use me as kind of like the bedrock, or however you want to phrase it. And then they're going to put Steve Bader's voice on top of it. So I'm quitting. We posted on that. I actually got a very nasty phone call from the publicist. And I know him, and actually like this whole week I've been super busy and annoyed. So he really picked it. Actually, as M saw behind the scenes today, someone really picked a bad day to F around and find out. So anyway, so this was Monday. Monday, I got a nasty call from the publisher, who I know, and I like him. He's a nice guy. And he says, and he's an English guy, and he was kind of joking. He's like, I am looking for the journalist that doesn't do his job properly. And I'm like, well, he's not taking insults right now, but you can leave a message if you want. And then I just like popped right back. And he's like, well, you could have emailed me. And I'm like, I did email you and you didn't respond, which was true. And so like he came up trying to be a little bit of a tough guy. And I just started throwing haymakers, you know. I didn't want to like really bum out, because I know him. He's a nice guy. He's written a lot of good stuff. But he just picked the wrong data. And the fact that Matt, well, So he called up and we actually kind of ignited this. It's all over the internet now, but we actually kind of ignited this. So then at the end of the day, the Dead Boy said, actually, we are putting out an album, but we're not using AI. It's going to be Cheetah Chrome and Clem Burke of Blondie and Glenn Matlock of Sex Pistols, with contributions from Jane Williamson of the Stooges and the guy from Hanoi Rocks. And everyone's like, oh my God, the guy from Hanoi Michael Rocks. Monroe. Yeah. And I know Hanoi Rocks. I still don't understand why everyone like loves Hanoi. Like to me, Hanoi Rocks is like an 80s hair metal glam band, but all the punkers like them for some reason, and I still don't understand that. Anyways, so they say, we're not actually doing an AI album. We're actually doing a collaborative album, and we're using some old demo tracks from Stiv, and we're going to put those on top of it, not AI. Then, what's his name? Cheetah Chrome also issued a kind of a statement. Then the next day they issued a statement that said, we fired Jay because he wasn't cutting it and the fans didn't like him. And Cheetah Chrome's like, we fired Jay because he's all about himself, and we tried to help him out and he didn't want us to help him out, and blah, blah, blah. So, and it's all real ugly. It kind of blew up and we kind of caused it. And I'm not sorry, because I hate AI. And who do you believe, Em?
Out of this situation, like he's telling the truth.
Yeah.
I kind of think, well, it's weird that all this comes out and then like the band and Cheetah Chrome and stuff are just like, yeah, well, no one liked you anyways. And that's how they start off. You know, it's like, that has nothing to do with anything. That's just a thing that like makes me think, oh, there was something to what he said. And it was just like, no, you're wrong. Your face is ugly. You know what I mean? Just like, no.
Yeah.
So I'm in the, oh, he didn't, what was it? He didn't look into and understand AI like we do. And it was like, what does that mean? I have questions, is my point. I don't know who is in the right. I'm just, more information's going to come out.
Pick a side, then. Pick a side.
Pick a side?
Yes.
Okay, I'll go Jake's side, just because the AI thing. Again, if it's just going to be, if it's just going to be demos, like old demos where they like use Stiv's voice, totally fine. That's awesome. Great. Cool. If you're using the demos to train an AI to sing in his cadence, something's fucked up. Not saying that's what's going on, but just, you know.
Yeah.
How do you come down on this?
I think it's somewhere in the middle, but I didn't like how they criticized how like I actually never saw Jake with the Dead Boys, because I was like, well, what's the point? But a lot of people say actually it was kind of cool. So now I'm sorry that I didn't.
But no one liked him, though.
Yeah, but apparently, like everyone actually thought he was actually pretty good. So I didn't like how they criticized his physical aspects and stuff. So I'm siding with Jake on this one. I'm like, you know what I mean? And I gotta say, like, I think he maybe did a thing where like he overstated what they actually were doing, but it seems like they were using some sort of AI, you know what I mean, and maybe considering certain things. So yeah. I gotta say, I mean, there's a million good bands. We don't need to make fake robots of dead musicians to make more albums that aren't even real. Like, I hate that. I absolutely hate it. You know what I mean? We don't need that. Yeah. Like, no. Dead Boys are real cool, but, you know, let Stiv rest in peace. You know what I mean? Like, if you want more cool punk rock, there's a million other cool bands out there. We don't need to make fake. You know what I mean? It's weird and it's creepy. And I don't think it's going to get better. I think it's going to get worse. And it's bumming me out because AI is so creepy. And I don't want to overstate it, but I do wonder, will AI really lead to the destruction of mankind or the enslavement of mankind? It really might. You know what I mean? It's real bad. It's real bad. So
is that your phone you're checking with AI?
Yeah, my phone's listening to me. So yeah, man, I'm not down with AI at all. I hated him. I hate it.
It's not cool. No.
Tell us about the anti-queens, Em.
Yeah, we kind of talked about this last week.
Oh, we did?
A little bit. Yeah, I'm in the video.
They released a video for Magnolia, and
I'm in it. So go watch it.
Yeah, it's real cool. You should. I forgot we talked about that. It's awesome. Go check it out. I guess last story of the day, Em, Chumbawamba is re-releasing the Tub Thumping 7-inch. I don't know. And does that forecast more reissues or do you think it's a one-off thing?
I hope it forecasts more reissues. So I'm going to say, yeah, I think there's going to be more. I want to know what the alt version of the song that they have on the B-side is.
Well, there actually are about 6 or 7 versions of Tub Thumping because the CD single had like 5 remixes. There's an acoustic mix. There's a million different versions of that song. The record itself is actually just a little lazy. The record itself is just the single version on the A and B side. It's the same version. Because the original version had 2 non-LP tracks on it. Farewell to the Crown and something else. And Farewell to the... Oh, there's a song called like Soccer Song or something, or Football Song.
Yeah.
Or maybe that is Farewell to the Crown. Let me look real quick.
Football Song.
Yep. Both of those songs are actually amazing. And I really think it should put them both on the LP. Or the CD, rather. But it was kind of, instead of putting that on the B-side, they just put another version of Tub Thumping on, which is kind of lazy. But on the other hand, it is cool to have a 7-inch of that. That's cool. And I'll tell you after. Well, okay. All right, I'll say it on one. So I got a copy of it, and I played it. I'm like, this sounds weird. It sounds like really slow. I'm like, being insane, I figured out that it was the single edit of the CD, right? And so then I played the single edit at the same on CD at the same time as the record, and the record was 11 seconds slower. And I'm like, so that's why it sounds weird. They messed it up in mastering. It's too slow. And so I emailed somebody. I'm like, hey, dude, you know. They might want to check this out because they're really screwing up the 7-inches. It's messed up. And the person's like, I didn't know that could happen. I'm like, yeah, it totally can happen. They messed up the mastering. It sounds odd. And I'm like, I'm a big shot. Yeah. You know, I'm sending important emails to people and doing quality control. And then about 3 days later, I got this really cool record. It's David Bowie, Beauty and the Beast off the Heroes album, an exclusive 12-inch DJ only single that has an extended version of Beauty and the Beast, you know, which I didn't even know existed.
I'm like,
I can't wait to play this. And I played it. I'm like, this sounds weird. Sounds like slow. And then I realized, the band on my record player must be wearing out because my record player is playing slow. So I need to email the guy, like, with my tail between my legs. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And he's like, I'll email certain people and let them know. And you know, and then I had to email like 3 days later. I'm like, oh man, I'm an idiot. And so I played the 7-inch on a different record player and it sounds perfectly fine.
That's really funny.
So yet again, I messed it up yet again, and so At any rate, Em, did you know that Tub Thumper, the album, has never been on vinyl?
I did not. Is there a reason?
The only reason is that, like, when Chumbawamba signed to a major, it was right in the middle of the CD era. So no Chumbawamba album starting with Tub Thumper going forward is on vinyl. The albums before that are on vinyl. So Tub Thumper's not on vinyl. What You See, What You're Not, Ready Mades, none of that is on vinyl.
I am shocked.
I'm sure we'll be. Well, actually, I'm not sure. I would think with all the demand for vinyl these days, and then putting like the Space Jam soundtrack on vinyl, I would guess that someone somewhere is like, let's put this out on vinyl. You know what I mean? I think. I would guess it would probably be like a record store day kind of thing to begin with, you know? Mm-hmm. Because I mean, the fact of the matter is like, and you know, and I know that Chumbawamba is an extremely important punk rock band that was punk rock before, during, and after the major label period. But yes, to the vast majority of people, Chumbawamba is a 90s one-hit wonder, like Len or something, you know? And right, for record store, and for record store day, they do a ton of that one-hit wonder stuff on vinyl. And people are like, oh, I got to get the LP version of, like, Hanson or something, you know? And so I would not be surprised if that came out as some kind of record store day kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I could see that happening. That would be cool. They could do some neat stuff with it.
So, Em, anything else we should talk about?
I'm trying to think, like, what happened in news. As if, like, I haven't been on, like, the site today.
Em, do you care about Millen Collin? People love Millen Collin. I don't think I've ever actually heard Millen Collin ever.
I don't think I've ever listened to them, but I like their little chick mascot. I think it's cute.
What does Millen Collin mean? What does that mean? What's a Millen Collin?
I don't know. I assumed it was a mixture of Million and Colin.
Well, why?
I thought maybe one of the guys' names is Colin?
Maybe.
I'm going to look up Millen Collin meaning. Now I want to know meaning.
Oh, we're on Blue Sky, Em. We should tell people that we're on Blue Sky. Oh. Tell them about Blue Sky.
First of all, Millen Collin is derived from the skateboard trick melancholy. So there you go. we're on Blue Sky. We're no longer using the Punk News Twitter. Or we're not currently using it.
But, I mean, we're basically going to neglect it for a while, probably. And we'll see what happens.
We might come back. We'll see. But anyway, if you go on our Twitter, you have a pinned tweet that has a link to our Blue Sky. And we've had some like pretty cool stuff happen over on Blue Sky. We had Yoko Ono Yoko Ono's account share one of our things.
That's cool.
Which was really cool because I saw that and I'm like, oh my God, is that the real, like, is that her actual account? And it's like, yeah, it says managed by her team and everything. It's all, it all seems like legit, which is pretty rad. We are at 1.7k followers right now, just checked, so that's very exciting. We do daily news posts kind of as they happen or whenever one of us can update it. I will not be able to update it for the next week, like the rest of this week I will, and then the next week I won't. And then, on Fridays, I've been trying to do the, hey, tell us what you're listening to kind of do like a navel gazing on it to have more kind of interaction. So it seems to be working. The one I did this week got some pretty cool responses. A lot of people are talking about the new Poppy album. I have not listened to it. And now I was going to anyway, but now it's just moved up. But it's it's a fun platform. It's a lot better than Twitter. It's a lot more user-friendly. You have a chronological posting structure, so it's not an algorithm that's made to hit all the right buttons in your brain to make you, like, crave it kind of thing. So that's really cool. Should probably, like, booster stuff. But yeah, it's a fun little place to be. If you're starting starter packs or whatever, I don't know how to do it. Like, I could do one where it's just starter pack and then it's punk news editors, right? Because I think you followed the account, didn't you? Do you have Blue Sky?
I think I did. I actually signed up an account, but I haven't been into it since. I'm kind of over Twitter and that, like, the whole Twitter format, frankly, you know.
Yeah. Like, Instagram is more fun just because there's pictures.
Well, I stopped using Twitter because it got kind of shitty. You know what I mean?
It got really shitty.
And I haven't, and I don't really miss it. I mean, Instagram does pretty much everything that I wanted to do, you know?
Yeah. Like, I'm still kind of using Twitter just because there's people on there who are on other platforms, but.
And I've got eight Twitter followers.
You have eight?
I've got eight. No, not eight. No, I'm sorry. Blue Sky followers.
Am I following you on Blue Sky?
No.
I will follow you on Blue Sky. But yeah, it's a good platform. There's a little butterfly. So go give us a follow. And read all of our skeets, which I think is what they're called.
Really? That's terrible.
Re-skeet our stuff.
They need to really change that name. Do they know what skeet means?
Probably, and that's a fun. Oh, there you are. Hey.
They need to change that. That is terrible.
I don't know if it's them or if it's just, like, people. Because that was a thing on Threads, I think, too, is just re-skeet this. Threads is awful.
Is the system set up to automatically go to Blue Sky, or are you doing it manually?
I'm doing it manually.
Oh, wow.
I was doing Twitter manually.
we should ask Auburn to see if he can do it automatically.
Because the reason I started doing Twitter automatically is Twitter put something in place to block all of the automatic posting. So I tried to ask him about that, and he said, no, we can't do that. I don't know how to automate Blue Sky. For another website that I am affiliated with, one of the editors is working on automating the posts from there. So I'll see how, like, she's doing it and then see if I can get any tips. But right now it's all manual. So that's me.
Well, good job there. Well, good job there, Em. One last thing, then we'll wrap it on up. Em, I got Gwen Stefani's new solo album.
Is it good?
It's all right.
Is it all country?
It's all pop country. I think I was hoping it would be like full on, like June Carter Cash kind of country, or even like Dolly Parton kind of country, but it's not. It's very pop country. Okay. Every song, I mean, all the songs are okay. And once in a while, you can hear like a good song underneath it, but there's so much production. There's so many writers in each song. Like really, the fact of the matter is, most pop songs are very simple, you know? I mean, if you look at like spider webs, I'm walking in a spider web, blah, 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 blah. It's really just like one line. You know what I mean? Or if you look at underneath it all, you're really lovely underneath it all. Like that's the whole song. Whereas like a lot of the pop songs where it's got a million writers, where they're trying to make hits and maybe they don't have the juice, they just put on so much production or in the song, this happens and that happens and this happens. And you like none of the songs are super memorable. Once in a while you hear the real Gwen creep out and you're like, I hear it in there. They just need to draw it out. And honestly, the songs where she's credited most prominently are definitely the best tracks. So I kind of wish she was just like, I know Gwen likes writing with co-writers. However, I also know that like a lot of the record labels, I know Gwen does like writing with co-writers, but I remember her first solo record, which was co-written with Linda Perry. She hated writing with Linda Perry because they got in a big fight all the time because Linda Perry wanted to like write lines that like Gwen wouldn't sing. Like there's a line on the first record called what's the song that goes tick tock tick tock? Oh, the song is What Are You Waiting For?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a line that says, "What are you waiting for, you stupid hoe?" And Gwen got a big fight with Linda Perry because she said, "I would never say that." So live, she changes the lyric, which is kind of cool. The point being is the new record, like there's a lot going on, but nothing at the same time. But also every song is about how much she's in love with Blake Shelton and is happy to be with Blake Shelton.
Ew.
And frankly, I don't care. Like, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
On Tragic Kingdom, when she's breaking up with Tony Kanaal, I care. On Return of Saturn, when she's starting to go out with Gavin Rosdale and is having mixed feelings, I care. I just don't on her third solo record, which is all about her breaking up with Gavin Rosdale, I just didn't care. And I don't really care about her getting together with Blake Shelton. I just don't care. You know what I mean? Now, I guess it's tough for her because she's rich and famous now. So she can't write about being, you know, the misunderstood girl down the block or whatever, or having crushes on her 19-year-old boyfriend or whatever. So and that's traditionally like love songs and insecurities have basically been the meat and potatoes of Gwen's songs, even up through her second solo record. You know what I mean? So now that super rich and super famous and happy, I guess, what does she write about? That's tough, you know, but
the state of the world.
Yeah. I mean, sort of. Yeah. I just don't care about her and Blake Shelton's relationship, Em. I don't, I mean, I wish them well, but I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's all right. It's all right.
Yeah,
but, I feel like I if she did do a June Carter Cash album and all the songs were about Blake Shelton, that might be interesting because I care about June Carter Cash's love song to Johnny Cash and Johnny Cash's love song to June Carter Cash. I care about those, you know, so maybe it would have been more interesting that way. I don't know. Of course, then again, Dolly is rich and famous and has been rich and famous for a long, long time. But Dolly still writes interesting songs.
She does. Well, she like writes about kind of everything too, though. Like it's not just like here's this one thing or here's this other thing.
True. Very true. Hmm.
Maybe like Gwen just needs to go on a writing retreat and be like, what can I talk about that is not Blake Shelton?
I think what Gwen needs to
do.
What Gwen needs to do is write some songs. Don't let people tell her what she should do, even if she thinks she wants them to.
Mm-hmm.
Pull out the hit, which they're in there, but they got to be pulled out, you know.
Definitely.
And do that. I think that's what you need to do. And do you think No Doubt's ever going to perform together again? Because there was all that big thing, like No Doubt's back, and they played two shows, and that was it. You know.
There's a headliner, a spicy headliner for Punk Rock Bowling.
They could not afford it. I mean, Coachella could barely afford it. Punk Rock Boy cannot afford No Doubt. I mean, I would go. I mean, Punk Rock Boy might be able to afford Dream Car, in which case I would not care at all. I'd rather go see a No Doubt tribute act than Dream Car.
Take that, Dream Car. I think we'll see another couple No Doubt shows.
Yeah, I think so too. But maybe the magic's over. I mean, No Doubt's been a band almost 40 years now. You know what I mean?
It's a long time.
It's crazy. If No Doubt let me think of a good example here. I always use the Rolling Stones, but I use that example way too. If No Doubt was AC/DC, they'd be releasing Stiff Upper Lip, the album that no one cares about right now. So, it's after Stiff Upper Lip. It would be, let's see here. And then I'm going to wrap it up and I will tell you the spicy headliner for Punk Rock Bowling. But if No Doubt was AC/DC, they'd be releasing Black Ice. That's crazy, Em. That's crazy.
That was one of the first CDs I ever got.
Black Ice?
Yeah.
It's not that good. It's all right.
I thought it was okay.
Here is the spiciest choice for Punk Rock Bowling, which they could have. All right.
Let's hear it.
Chumbawamba.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that would be very spicy.
All right,
that would be really good.
Any comments you want to wrap this up with, and then we will play some Tub Thumper, because why not?
Go email Jello about getting a Last Scream in the Missing Neighbors Part 2.
And more Jello and the Melvins.
And No Means No.
someone. My lord, your time has come right between the eyes. Fell his master not by chance, away with pomp and circumstance. Come join our merry dance to the rhythm of goodbye. Farewell the jewel crown, farewell the velvet gown. Watch you all come tumbling down, goodbye to the crown. Goodbye to the crown. Goodbye to the king of nothing really. Wave of a hand and a life of Riley. Pot Nazi, pot King Billy. Goodbye to the crown. Goodbye to the dear old mum, mummified on gin and rum. Smile and wave and just play dumb. Goodbye to the crown. Farewell the jewel crown, farewell the velvet gown. Watch it all come tumbling down. Goodbye to the crown. Goodbye to the crown. To the crown.